Hello there. My name is Michael Brady, and I'm part of Partners for Karmic Freedom with Linda Brady. And together, we work with people around karmic astrology, past life regression, and karmic philosophy. We help people solve life issues, understand themselves better, work out problems with their bodies, their emotions, their relationships, all kinds of things. We work with all ages of people, to boot, and we use a person's natural chart, their birth chart, in order to look at the issues that they brought into this lifetime from their past lifetime. So we are karmic astrologers. Our website is karmicfreedom.com, and you can get gift certificates there for appointments with me or Linda through the holidays to gift to other people and year-round as well. It's a permanent part of the website now, and if you go to the face page of our website and go to the bottom, you'll see where you can easily get right to that opportunity to purchase some gift certificates. Our email is karmicfreedom@gmail.com, and my phone number is 802-323-6880, and I'm textable. It's an iPhone, and if I'm breathing, it's near me, more or less. We're all trapped into iPhones these days, or some sort of smartphone, probably. This is the Cancer Project, and it is day 139 of the Cancer Project. It's December 19th, 2022. If you're just joining us, Linda Brady, my partner, was diagnosed with cervical cancer on July 4th and started to receive radiation and chemo treatment on August 1st and went through, it was 5 weeks planned, but it was more like 6.5 weeks by the time she was done, or maybe even eight. She has completed all of her radiation and chemo treatments at this point. Along the way, she developed, right from the beginning early on when they diagnosed her, a kidney problem, and they had to put it in a nephrostomy tube, which requires her to carry a collection bag around with her out of her right kidney. That was just removed a week ago. She's free of it now and not bionic anymore, and much relieved because she can roll side to side and sleep any way she wants to, and she's not dragging something around with her. It's a wonderful feeling. And this week, in her recovering from the cancer and the cancer treatment, her next hurdle was crawling out of her skin. That's going to be the title of this for this week for the podcast. Because she literally felt like she was crawling out of her skin for about 4 days. And we finally got to the doctors. It took us 2 days to get to a doctor. The ultimate caveat in healthcare these days is if you can't da-da-da-da-da, go to an ER. Okay, but we all know going to an ER is going to be 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours of waiting in an ER to get seen, and then they have to evaluate you as if they don't know jack about you or anything that's going on with you, even if it's in a hospital you've been hospitalized in. And that can take another couple of hours, and God knows what conclusions they're going to come to. And then they come into the snag of, you're under treatment from other doctors, and you've been an inpatient. So anyway, ERs are not an answer, right? So it took us 2 days from the time she was really in crisis with this withdrawal complication from her medications. I'll explain more about that in a bit, but it took us 2 days. It took me 2 days on the phone, at some point being pretty cranky with people, to get seen. And it was just coincidental that her radiation and chemo doctors had scheduled an appointment this past Friday for her a month ago. And that was what we finally got seen. We couldn't get seen by her primary care person or anybody else other than going to an ER for like 2 days. So she was really a mess, suffering for actually 4 days all told. We got to the doctor's on Friday, and she's almost psychotic. I mean, at that point, she's weepy, and she's disoriented, and she's confused, and she can't sit still longer than 10 seconds. I mean, she's literally feels like she's crawling out of her skin, and it's driving her nuts. And we finally got to the doctor's on this past Friday. This is Monday, December the 19th, so whatever that was, last Friday. And lo and behold, when we tell them about the symptomatology, they are telling us, the two doctors, the chemo and the radiation doctor, are telling us that it's probably it's side effects, extrapyramidal symptoms from the use of Compazine, which is an anti-nausea medication. Well, she's been on 3 different anti-nausea medications since August 1st. And in August 1st, the first week of her treatment, what they told me around her immediate and developing nausea issue that comes from both the cancer and the treatment of the cancer, which is really paradoxical, that she should use Compazine as a foundational anti-nausea medication, which covers like, I don't know, I want to say, right, 8 hours, okay, 8 hours each dose. And if you get into like hour two, hour three, and you're still nauseous, then you take a second tier anti-nausea medication. So they gave me Zofran on top of that. And then on the third tier, they told me, this is back in August, use Ativan, which is an anti-anxiety medication, in case anybody's really versed about this stuff, primarily, but it also has anti-nausea effects. So I was told to use that as the third tier, so that if she's constantly had issues with being nauseous, that over the course of like 6 hours, she could take all three of those medications, bump, bump, bump in a row, and they wouldn't overdose her or conflict with each other, but would give her 3 different rounds of trying to quell the nauseousness that she was experiencing. So anyway, the paradigm was Compazine first, followed by Zofran, followed by Ativan. Well, we go in Friday, and the very doctors who prescribed this, and literally I'm listening to these people tell me this back in August, face-to-face, not on the phone, not in written form, face-to-face Friday, both doctors are telling us that, oh, well, this is extrapyramidal problems with Compazine, maybe also because she no longer needs the oxy for pain, because she's not really having physical pain anymore from the cervix or from the vagina or from her kidney. So she's basically pain free in that sense. She may be, and I halved her dose. I started to half her dose on the oxy. So she's only taking 2.5 milligrams per time per 8 hours. And they thought maybe it was a combination of primarily the Compazine extrapyramidal problems interacting also with her coming off of oxy, because she's been on it for for months at a time. So at any rate, Compazine was the really nasty culprit here. So they're saying it was a mistake to give her the Compazine. And I'm thinking, you're the people that gave it to her. And they're now explaining to us Friday that it often has these side effects, extrapyramidal problems, for especially older people. Younger people, not a problem, but duh, she just turned 80. So at any rate, they immediately said, we're going to stop using the Compazine. Well, we had stopped like 24 hours before because her body was telling her Compazine didn't feel good in her when she took it. And she said, I don't want to take this anymore. So she stopped taking it before we went to the doctors, actually. But she was still having the issues. So we go in Friday, and they tell us now that Compazine is what's causing her to have these creepy, crawly kind of DTs. And maybe it's supported by her gradual halving or the withdrawal of oxy, but it's primarily Compazine. And that Ativan will solve the problem. Well, she had run out of Ativan a week before all this happened, so she wasn't. I didn't have Ativan available until we got in Friday. So immediately they wrote scripts, and we went to the pharmacy that day, and we came home and went to the pharmacy. And within hours on Friday, she had Ativan in. She wasn't going to take Compazine ever again. She was on a strict paradigm over the next 3 to 5 days until midweek this week, like tomorrow, the next day, to check back with him. And assured that this would resolve itself pretty rapidly within 3 to 5 days. Well, within 24 hours, she stopped feeling the creepy, crawly out of her skin feeling and started really calming down. And we've been treating her that way since then. So we think that's going to get that's resolving, and we think that's going to get completely resolved. And I'm optimistic that maybe I have to check this out with the doctors by phone tomorrow. How to completely withdraw the oxy from her usage, because you don't want to. And of course, I've been reading a lot in the last week about these meds, more than I did along the way. I'm finding out that oxy is even if you don't get addicted to it, if you use it for a sustained period of time, which is longer than 3 to 5 days, I think it is, according to the stuff I'm reading. If you do it for weeks or months, which she's done it for months, you can't just abruptly stop the oxy. You need to taper it out or under the supervision of your doctor, of course. So I need to talk to them about if I can completely get her off of oxy while we're away. We're going to be away from the 22nd to the 29th out of town. We're going to go to Franklin, Tennessee, and my wife's going to see the Oak Ridge Boys, if she loves the Oak Ridge Boys, perform live there. And we're going to try to relax for a week and actually get some rest, well, more than a biological level, emotional rest, physical rest, psychological rest. This has been very taxing on both of us. But at any rate, so that's the news. She was crawling out of her skin, and we finally got that. That's the next problem that came up. We're trying to get that resolved. It looks like that's handled. I'm very hopeful that by the time we get to the first of the year, my wife is going to feel normal and not on medications, and it's probably going to take another, my guess is months, maybe 4 months, 3 months, for her body to physically recuperate itself enough or completely. And from other people that are tagging along with this podcast and our journey, who have also gone through cancer treatments, who talk into my ear, so to speak, through text messages, and these podcasts are telling me that that's not unusual. So she's about to step into the clearing of primary recovery, and going into secondary recovery as we slide into the first part of the year. And after we come back, and I deal with appointments we still have to do to tie the bow or the follow-up appointments for her treatments and stuff at Tampa General in January and February. Somewhere in January, we want to start to look at alternative treatments to eradicate the stem cell production of the squamous cancer that she's had and see how to engage with that process, which could take a year. We'll see how that goes. But that's the news, all the news in terms of Linda's progress. So we can't wait to beat feet, leave town, have a little fun, and rest and recreate for a change. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I want to thank everyone for all the love and support we have received in this journey as we close out this year. And for all the people who are listening to this podcast that I do, I really appreciate that. And the feedback I get from you all because of the podcast, from the podcast, about the podcast. The other thing I guess I want to talk about a little bit is Christmas, because this year is really standing out for me. It's making me think about things, about my life, about the meaning of things. And I guess what I want to say is how important this holiday season is, and how we all, not we all, I have often over the course of my life taken it for granted on some kind of level. You get used to it. It's filled with toys and spending more money and debt in January and all that annual stuff that we do. And we all spend more time with our families, but we also complain about spending more time with our families, usually either before, during, or after the experience. And for me, family and relationship has become especially important this year of my life. The scare about Linda leaving with the cancer. I've been thinking about how important our relationships with the people who are closest to us in our life, and that's is our families, but it's also our adopted families, our chosen friends, our friendships, our adopted chosen families that we build in the course of our life. I hope other people are doing that. We are, have been. And I was raised Catholic in this lifetime. So, of course, I went beyond the Catholic belief in the nature of reality and became esoteric, became karmic, for instance. And I believe in past lifetimes, which I'm not supposed to believe in if you're a Roman Catholic. You know, if you're Catholic, you're born, you live, you die, you pass or fail. You either go to heaven or hell, and you want to come back. Well, I grew up to be a practitioner of past life regression. So obviously I believe that we come back many, 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 many times, kind of thing. It hasn't made me not believe what I was raised with, although I do tend to believe that Jesus was a prophet like other prophets, maybe not the only son of God, a son of God, as I was taught by the Catholic Church. But the importance of spirituality is what's come up in my mind these days. And that is that what I see happening in our culture kind of pervasively and increasingly is a lack of belief in anything beyond the nature of our immediate reality. Science doesn't believe in spirituality. Science, you know, was formed out of a reaction to religious spirituality in the Middle Ages and in the Western world here, in reaction to the Christian or the Catholic faith back then. So science is anti-religion, but it doesn't abide by believing in anything it can't validate experimentally. Let's put it that way. And so science doesn't give us a good framework to instill meaning into our life experience beyond what you can get from statistics. And I've come to really believe, especially this year of my life, with the growth crises, the life crises and growth crises I've gone through and my wife and I have gone through, have really come to believe in the importance of a spiritual framework in life, some sort of spiritual framework. I don't care if you're Hindu, I don't care if you're Catholic, I don't care if you're Protestant, I don't care what denomination you are, and or How about Aquarian? Because that's what we talk about in terms of our own spirituality, that our spirituality is a belief in the Aquarian spiritual framework, which is reincarnational, and the laws of karma, how that governs those axioms, tend to govern what you do in life, your ethics, how to guide your life, kind of thing. And in karma, it's tit for tat, that you get back what you put out. And we also have believe we teach that karmically speaking, that we sort of start, I don't know, on the bottom rung when we incarnate here, kind of like I often use this analogy from the Bible framework of Adam, Eve, me, and expelled from the Garden of Eden, that, you know, that God created us and sent us down to the earth plate and said, shoo, go down there and play around with each other and figure out how to make things work. And that is how to love each other, how to love yourself and other people in a win-win way. And shoo, just go down there and figure it out for yourselves. I don't care how long it takes. And bingo, we have many lifetimes and many reincarnations. And we're all really trying to figure out how to love ourselves in a constructive, positive, win way, and then how to interact, how to love ourselves and other people in a win-win way, where both people win at the outcome of the transaction, as opposed to an adversarial or a win-lose way of transacting with each other. And I think we've been on that journey for as long as we've been around, and currently, the best estimates I've been able to read in my reading in life is 1.5 million years the Homo sapiens have been on this planet. And, you know, we have this idea that, or I had this idea from grade school, high school, and some college along the way, you know, that there was, like, we had the Cro-Magnons, and we had the Neanderthals, and we had the Australopithecus the Australian human beings, and then we had Homo sapiens, which is what we all belong to, that group of human beings. Well, that's four human being groups. We have this idea, we grew up with this idea, we were taught this idea that there was sort of this evolution, the Charles Darwin thing, that we went from apes to this, to that, to that, to that, to Homo. That's not really true. Actually, 1.5 million years ago, we're finding out from fossil records, that, in other words, bones that we're finding, and we're over in a carbon date and all that good stuff these days, we're finding that 1.5 million years ago, there were at least five human species on the planet, four plus Homo sapiens. I can't name them all. And there may even be more, because we keep still discovering other bones that belong to their own class of humanness. Now, that's not apes getting to human. That's completely human. And that Homo sapiens is just one flavor of being human on this planet. And we have been around 1.5 million years. Well, interestingly enough, out of that 1.5 million years, it's only about, and don't hold me to this, but it's like 30,000 years ago, in a very short period of time, all the rest of the human species went extinct except for Homo sapiens. Maybe we had something to do with that. Who knows? But at any rate, we're the last humans left on the planet out of at least four or five other species of human beings that were here along with us earlier and prehistorically, before the last just lost my time frames here, before recorded history. So at any rate, we're believers in that sort of karmic spiritual framework, that we're here to learn about ourselves and from each other, and we're here to learn to love each other and to love each other in a constructive versus a destructive or an adversarial way, and that we're figuring it out for ourselves as we go through our lifetimes. Well, that's not incompatible with my belief in God, or my belief in Jesus as a Son of God who was part of our teaching along the way. So what I'm really getting in touch with from myself is that it's so important that as we go through our life, especially after we grow up, that we have some sort of framework bigger than what's in front of our nose, that we believe in more than just the reality that smacks us in the face every day, that we have to have some sort of foundational spiritual framework to make sense or meaning out of life here on this planet with each other. And Christmas, in the Western world at least, is the time of year when most of the faiths that are practicing here have some sort of awareness, we have some sort of an awareness more than we do in our normal life of the importance of caring about each other, the importance of how we love each other comes up every Christmas. And especially this year, for me, it has a lot of meaning because I'm really thinking about that a lot for myself on a personal basis. And I would wish everyone out there an experience of a deepening sense of optimism and faith that your world, that your life, that our lives together are indeed moving toward the good. There is a Christian precept that says that everything works toward the good. Wait a minute, everything works toward the good? You mean all the nasty stuff that goes in the world is working toward the good? Yes, everything works toward the good. Eventually, that means that it will all end up in the good, whatever the good is defined as by the people who are using the word. In my case, it's about this love thing. It's about that we come here to figure out how to love ourselves in a wholesome way and how to love each other in a wholesome way. And I like to use the phrase win-win versus win-lose. So I wish everyone a happy holiday, and I hope you all think about that for yourselves in your own way and reinstill your own faith in what you believe is the positive and the important purpose of our lives here, of our lives with each other. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we are actually going to be away, and I'm not going to take a recorder with me, so I won't be doing a podcast until after the first of the year, or around the first of the year. So next week I won't be doing a podcast, but I will come back as soon as we're back from our vacation, and the first of the year comes, I'll be right back on the recorder with you all. So thank you for listening. I wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year again, happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all of it, any of it. And thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.